Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, I'm Mike Kapler for the Growing in Grace podcast. With me is the guy who strongly believes the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Please welcome to the podcast, Joel, get thee behind me, Brzezinski.
Well, as long as you're not talking about Chick-fil-A, I want to be first. Even though I've only been there one time.
You've only been to Chick-fil-A once? Was that with me?
That was with you, yeah.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
It was a while ago. I just never get over there in that area of our town. Well, rarely.
At the time of this recording, and it has been this way for a number of years, they are the busiest drive-thru in America.
And it was really good food, and so I've got to get back there. Probably one of the only Christians who's only been there once.
Well, get the app and collect the points and you get some rewards for it.
That's what I need to do.
Christians are like living, they're like living apps, Joel. They're trying to collect points from God so that they can cash in on something.
That's right. Yep. I got to get my rewards from God for all the good stuff I do. And he will pay me off. He will pay me off tremendously if I just do the stuff.
You know, we talked before Christmas. We just mentioned briefly. I think in the last couple of years, we did do a podcast that was a little more detailed on the topic of the wise men, the magi, were not actually at the manger scene. They showed up later after Jesus was becoming a toddler. And so you stop and ask yourself the question, how could religion and tradition get this so wrong, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because of course the wise men were at the manger scene, right? I even told a friend of mine recently that I can't remember what he sent me through an email, but I said, well, you realize the wise men weren't really at the manger scene. And he said, oh, that sounds like fake news. And so I didn't take it any further. It's not a really big deal. But my point is, religion can get something like that at such a pivotal event in human history, the birth of Jesus. We get that so wrong, just based on the Bible. So you stop and ask yourself, what else that is commonly threaded throughout Christendom and many church denominations, what else have we gotten wrong? And I think one of those that I would like to bring up today, Joel, is the subject of saints. Hmm. I'm not talking about New Orleans here, for you football fans out there.
Who dat?
But usually, you know, so tradition kind of, at least the traditional mindset, and it's not just limited to one or two denominations, but it's just a concept that is kind of filtered throughout not only much of the church world, but perhaps humanity in general. And that is that saints are exceptional people because of the really good things that they do, the selfless dedication and work and acts that they perform in helping other people. And perhaps in the way that they live, those people are saints. And, you know, in some places, yes, saints become saints after they're dead, after their body has died, and they've gone on. And then somebody back here on earth nominates them, and there's some sort of a vote that takes place, and then they become saints. And then right. you maybe in some circles you can pray to them. But where I really want to go with this, though, is generally speaking, throughout humanity, throughout many church denominations, saints are usually referred to as exceptional people because of what they do. And we'd like to try to address that today.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing about saints, it's hard to tell exactly how that word got so taken out of context in culture, in general. You know, I've heard people say, "Well, I'm no saint. And you know, it might be a believer, it might be a non-believer. You know, it might be, you know, anybody could say that just using a cultural meaning of the word, where what they're trying to say, what they're trying to portray is, I don't do very good at living. You know, I'm not the most moral person in the world, or I could be better at, you know, helping people and loving people, or something like that, or the opposite. Like that person, like you say, that person was really was such a saint, such a, you know, such a good
Yeah,
person.
they turn it around, they turn it inside out and say, oh, that woman is a saint, you know,
Right. Yeah.
because of something she did.
Yeah. All has to do with the works that a person does. It's based on the person's goodness or badness and how they see themselves or how they see others. And really, the word, you'll find it all throughout the New Testament epistles, but the word really means the set apart ones. It doesn't have anything to do with what a person does. It doesn't have anything to do with how a person lives their lives. Paul might have said some things at times like live in such a way that is fitting for a saint, you know, that type of thing. But by calling them saints, he even, you know, he wrote to the people in Corinth who were doing some pretty naughty things, and he called them saints because their identity was not based upon the things that they were doing. Their identity as a saint, the saints are those who are set apart. It has to do with being holy, and that word goes along with being a saint. The word holy simply means set apart. You're set apart unto God. He has set you apart unto himself. And again, it's because of his grace. It's because of the finished work of Jesus. It's because of what he did, and not because of anything that you did. And so when Paul, we were talking about this beforehand, he'll start off a lot of his epistles. Greetings to the saints who are in Ephesus. And so if the word saint is, you know, if you have to be dead in order to be nominated and then voted in as a saint, then Paul was writing to dead people there in Ephesus and elsewhere. I think where else? I just saw it here. Ephesians 4, Paul says, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So again, he's got a bunch of dead people doing the work of the ministry, or it could just be that he is referring to those who have believed and who God has called and set apart for himself, his children. And that's really what the word saint is about. It has nothing to do with what a person does or doesn't do.
Well, and that just brings us back to the gospel, right? I mean, it's all about who you become. It's how you are identified apart from what you do. That's the gospel. I mean, religion is going to say you're working at becoming something. You're working to identify as something, like righteous, for example. Most people will think, and we've used this illustration a lot. I know it, but we've got to repeat it because it's a big deal. And that is, you go into a church, you ask the congregation, how many people here, can I see a show of hands? How many people here consider themselves righteous? In most traditional denominational type churches, you're not going to get a lot of hands going up because they're going to think that I'm not that good. I'm not performing that well. And they kind of maybe consider it braggadocious or not humble or something like that. But that is exactly how we're identified in Him. That's the gift of not our own righteousness, but the gift of God's righteousness that has been brought to us through His Son. So we're identified as righteous. We're identified as saints. Or here's another good one. We're identified as sanctified. Most evangelical churches I've ever been involved with, you'll find that sanctification is something you work towards. It's a gradual process that takes place. And much of it, of course, is dependent upon you and what you do. And none of that is really true. And I think the saints thing is especially kind of glaring, because you can type up the word saints and do a search on your online Bible or whatever, and just see the context that it's being used in. Sometimes Paul opens up letters with it. Sometimes he makes references to the saints throughout his letters, not only at the beginning but throughout. And you'll see right there, he's just referring to people who believe in Jesus and nothing more.
Right. That's really what it's about. And I think in the world, it's been mistaken. And when I think about this, I don't know if the church got it wrong first and then the world just kind of took it. Because, like I said, I hear it even among, non-believers, people who don't believe, just referring to people with that terminology. Not even in a religious sense, but just, I'm no saint. And so I wonder if they messed it up first, the world, people who don't believe, or if the church messed it up and then it kind of transferred into the world. I think that's probably it, because I think with such a legalistic bent in the church and not understanding what that word really means, the word saint and holy, and like you were talking about sanctified, what do those words really mean to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints? That's what Paul wrote. And so it's if a person has this idea that, well, in order to be a saint, I have to be doing all the things that are written in the scriptures I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to follow all the commandments. I'm supposed to follow all the things that a good person is going to do. Then I'll be a saint. Then I can consider myself a saint, or I can call that other person a saint. If that's a believer's idea of what a saint is, then you can only imagine how that transfers into their conversations with other people, and how so many people have this wrong idea of what a saint is and what it means to be sanctified. And then that goes, transfers into other areas as well, like what it means to be justified, and really what it means to be saved, and what it means to be righteous. It's all works-based with so many people. People don't have this general understanding that all of these things are God's gift. We talked about with our Christmas episode, God's goodwill toward men. It was all about what Jesus did, not about our goodwill between each other, but about God's goodwill toward us, and Jesus coming as a man, as one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. He came as one of us. He's the one who followed the law, who did the law. He's the one who lived the righteous life. Nobody else ever did it. And he's the one then that was the perfect sacrifice, the one perfect sacrifice by which we have been justified. It's all based upon what he did and the way that God has made us his own and set us apart unto him. It's all by his grace. It's all by what Jesus did, and nothing to do with anything that we do. And if we can get that right amongst ourselves, then maybe people in the world can start understanding that too. So yeah, speaking of these things, these kind of like things that religion has gotten wrong, we have something in mind for a future podcast that we want to include you in, the listener. Like, what are some other things that religion, I don't know how to say that, what that religion has gotten wrong? Because we're still kind of forming this between me and Kat, but what are some religious things that you do, or that or that you used to do that you don't do anymore, or that you used to say? What are some of those things that you say? Like, several weeks ago, I joked around about how I'm all prayed up, ready for this podcast. I'm all prayed up, as if that was going to make the Holy Spirit do something that he wouldn't have done otherwise. Not that prayer is wrong, but just what are some church-minded traditions, some things that the church has gotten wrong or that you've done? I don't know. What do you think, Kat? What are some ways to say what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of church-minded traditions out there that we've all been entangled with. And then we came into this idea of grace, the grace of the gospel, and began to see many of the things we were talking recently about unlearning things. So I think going back in time, what are some of the things that you've had to unlearn as you were tangled up with many common church-minded traditions that you thought maybe you had to do or be a part of that kind of required certain things from whatever it is that, you know, might have held you back, not realizing it at the time. In other words, I think, Joel, what it kind of comes down to is what is it that you thought you had to do that God really wasn't requiring you to do? Because that's what religion does, right? It requires people to begin depending on themselves to a certain degree instead of depending upon God and what he did through Jesus.
Right. Yeah, so share some of these things with us, maybe in the comments. And mainly people comment on YouTube, and we get some on Spotify as well. But what we'd like to do is use some of your comments. We'll read through them. And as many of our listeners know, we get a little bit ahead on recording. So this might be, you know, a few weeks from now at the time that this is posted, who knows, but we'd like to, and maybe we'll share it again next week just to get a few more comments, but we'd like to include you in this and just share your heart, share some of the things you've been through, some of your observations as you have viewed the religious world, whether it's your own or what you've seen in Christianity, some of the silly things, the religious things that people do and say. And in the future here, we'll have an episode on that. As for now, anything else there?
Well, I was going to say, what's the best way for people to submit that stuff?
I would say that we get most of our comments on YouTube. So on this episode, or if we share this again next week, in the comments, leave your comment there or on Spotify. And usually it takes a few days. Then I'm notified before I get a Spotify comment. I don't always see those right away. Those are probably the best ways. Otherwise, if you want to email graceroots@gmail.com, just send your comment that way. Those are probably the two or three best ways to leave your comment. Oh, and also if you're on Facebook, you can go to Grace Roots. So Facebook, and the page is called Grace Roots, and you can comment there as well. And so now this is Joel. I'm just popping back on here just at the end of this particular episode. We have made a decision. This particular episode that we're talking about, where we're going to include your comments, we're going to air that one most likely on February the 1st, 2026. But we'll need your comments by the morning of the 17th of January 2026, because we'll record that episode on that day. So we look forward to you sharing your comments that we'll include on our podcast episode in the future.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.